To the By Yahweh's Design conference call for the fourth day of February, year 2024. I am your host, Pastor Dan, and the topic for today's broadcast is We Are at War. We dedicate this broadcast to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this broadcast to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program. Prinhanda Cumri Embith. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and Pastor Dan is all together with no spaces. And we have several pages there you might find of interest. The homepage, of course, for those who wish to help us out with a donation, is where you find out how to do that. There is a page called Contact Us. If you do not have my personal phone, email, etc., you can use that to get me a message. And then there is the Daily Mail, where we put links to articles about just about everything, including health and current events, political stuff, and prepper information, which at this point in time, I would think most people would understand the need for that. Remember, Richard Buckminster Fuller told us, you never change things by fighting the existing reality. To change something, build a new model, which makes the existing model obsolete. Babylon is the existing obsolete model, and the world is starting to wake up to that, just as the world is starting to wake up to this identity message. It's starting to resonate with people. For the folks that weren't here when in the pre-show time when we were chatting, Melissa was telling us about some of the things that she is working on with other folks to educate our young people, see solutions, okay? I watched a interview with Catherine Austin Fitz, who has come back from Europe to the United States. She's working with five states to set up gold bullion depositories, state depositories of gold bullion. In other words, how states can regain their sovereignty financially. Okay, again, solutions. Solutions that say build a new model that makes the existing Jewish-controlled, central banking-controlled, central government-controlled system obsolete. Because the world's looking for answers, all right? We've been on the radio now for nearly 25 years, and we've talked about these issues. And as the word has gotten out there, people are starting to finally wake up. That's why I said we are at war. This is a war. It is a spiritual war, but it is also a physical war. Okay, spiritually speaking, they want us depressed. They want us to be doubtful of our Father, doubtful of each other, doubtful that we can win. And we have to not allow them to do that to us. So we have to take care of both our physical, spiritual, and mental health. Health, health, health. I almost started to entitle this one health today because when you're at war, your health becomes paramount. And why is that? Well, obviously, in order to fight a physical war, you need to be healthy, okay? You can't fight with soldiers that are limping or got dysentery or irritable bowel syndrome problems, or they got brain fog, okay? Of course not. That's why the enemy is poisoning us. They know that. Also, these poisons interfere with the pineal gland, which is your antenna to the spiritual side of things, okay? Why do they want to contaminate that? Well, so you have no spiritual connection to our Father, okay? That's where your strength in the spiritual realm comes from. That's where also that bleeds over into the mental part of things. When you walk with the Father, what's he do? He pours out his blessings upon you. When you communicate with the Father, he reinforces you. The enemy, of course, does not want you to do that. And then the physical is pretty obvious. Why do they want you sick? Well, first of all, they want to fleece you with their pharmaceutical nonsense and their hospitals and doctors and clinics where they will burn, cut, and poison you to death. I just watched part of a tribute that Jim Rizzoli and Diane King and Diana Floss was doing for Joe, who just recently passed a few days ago. His twin brother, Joe Rizzoli, has just passed. And as Jim was describing what happened to him once the medical mafia got involved, was almost a duplicate of what I've witnessed with my own family. It was difficult to listen to him because even Jim started crying as he recounted the story of talking to his brother just before he passed. It's much the same way when I recount what they've done to my mother, my father, my nephew, good friends. The same thing. The tears come to your eyes because the pain is that recent. And watching what they did to my mother and my father was nearly 25 years ago. It's hard to believe. 1998 and 1999. And yet it feels like yesterday in some ways. And the pain is still there. What they did recently to my sister, much like Joe, she got into the medical mafia. They made her afraid, and she submitted to an operation she should not have had. Exactly what they did to her mother, my mother, 21 years earlier. So again, we are at war, and we submit ourselves to this mafia, this medical mafia, and we are putting ourselves in harm's way. Now, if you feel at your core that the medical mafia is the way to go, then do it, okay? I'm not going to stand in the way, and I'm not going to tell you not to do it. But I am going to tell you the truth of what I've seen and what I've heard others recount to me of what these people have done to us. So if you know all that and you still want to trust them, then go ahead. It's much like the gospel. I'll share the gospel truth with you, but what you do about it is your business. Nobody here is going to tell you what to do. But we do have the right under free speech and under our Father Yahweh, we have the right to tell people what we know, what we have experienced, what we have seen, and share that with other people. And at no time do we claim to be, quote, experts or trained in the medical mafia way of things. Thank God we're not trained in that. All right? And many people have come out of that to expose it, just like the priests in the Roman Catholic Church that I've talked to. And many of them have actually become identity teachers. One of the best, he's no longer with us, but one of the best up in Michigan was a Jesuit priest in the Roman Catholic Church. And he left it and was teaching identity. And one of the strongest identity teachers I've ever known. All right? So when people come out of the, quote, system and become whistleblowers, they become truth tellers, that is Yahweh's way of letting us know what's going on. Now, does the enemy like us doing that? Of course not. Of course not. They want everything under their control. Proverbs 25, verse 2, it is the glory of Yahweh God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings, that's talking about you and me, folks. It is the honor of kings to search out a matter, okay? So I've had a lot of people say, well, they just don't know, meaning the people at large out here, the zombies that walk around us here. They just don't know. What do you mean they just don't know? The truth is out there. I told you, we've been here on this station for nearly 25 years. That's a quarter century. Pounding the drums, beating the drums. Wake up! We are at war. You have an enemy within your ranks and within your midst. They walk among you. They are the wolves in sheep's clothing. What the hell does that mean? Think about it. Wolves in sheep's clothing. That means on the inside, they will devour you. They will rob you. They will cheat you. They will rape you. They will murder you. But on the outside, they look like an innocent little sheep, just out there munching away on grass. Does that sound familiar? Can you say government bureaucrats? Can you say central bankers? Can you say central medical facilities and the medical mafia? Oh, yeah, the image on the boob tube, yeah. Got the nice white lab coat with the emblem on his shoulder there and stethoscope around him. Oh, this is the new priest of the new religion. You must obey. Looks like a pleasant little sheep that's all there for your benefit, but he's a wolf. Yeshua warned us about the wolves in sheep's clothing. He warned us about the hypocrite called the Pharisee. Today we call them Jews. Beware the leaven of the what? Pharisees, which is their hypocrisy. Hypocrites to walk this earth. Jews. And if you don't know that, you haven't been out in the real world. Tear the mask away. Well, they look like us, aren't they? What? They? No, they're not white. They are not Caucasian. Never have been, never will be. As John says in his epistle, especially in chapter 8, they are an alien race. Alien DNA, alien in culture, alien in what they believe, alien in how they behave. Wolves in sheep's clothing. You start stripping away who's behind all of the nefarious things going on today, you find the same culprit. Or as Adolf said in his book, the same maggots. Every time you turned over a rotting corpse somewhere, the same maggots were at work. I like to refer to them as termites. They eat away at your structure, your society, your institutions that kept you strong, that kept you bonded as a people. They eat away at them just like a termite does. Little bits over a long period of time. Little bites. In fact, that's what the word leaven means. Look it up in an exhaustive dictionary. Anything that causes a small, almost imperceptible change in a thing or a process. That's straight out of the Encyclopedic Unabridged Dictionary Webster's that sits on my shelf. Was Christ right? Yeah, Yeshua told us. He warned his people. Are his people listening, though? Are they listening, though? That's the question. Henry David Thoreau told us there are 1,000 hacking at the branches of evil to one who's striking at the root. Henry, you were so right. My God, we got thousands of people whacking away at these branches and hardly anybody talking about the root of our problem, which is the Jew and all of the things the Jews are behind. And people say, well, Dan, why do you pick? Well, because the Jews control the financial. And with the control of the financial, they control everything else. That's why. It's not the blacks, the browns, or even white supremacists. They don't control those things. The Jew controls those things. So if the Jew wants all that power and he wants control of everything, well, then he has to be willing to take the criticism that comes along with it because they're running the show. And so when things are falling apart, they should put their big boy pants on and be willing to take the criticism. You want the glory, you want the power, you want all the money, you want to make all the decisions, you want to tell all of us how to live. Well, when it doesn't work, then all the blame goes to you. That's just logic. It's not anti-Semitism. They're not even Semites. Talk about an oxymoron. Or a misnomer, that's it, right there. Anti-Semitic, they're not Semites. Because that comes from Shemite, meaning those of Shem. That's you and me, the Shemites. We are the Shemites. They are not. They are the imposters, the Revelation 2:9 imposters. Isaiah spoke of them in chapter 5 at verse 20 when he said, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil." Is that the Jew? Yeah, take a look. Who's out there saying that these things that are disastrous for us is good, and yet telling you that good things, like in the case of the fake pandemic, ivermectin and different natural remedies were good for you and would help you? All right? And speaking of that, I want to pass on a tidbit that was just given to me by a naturopathic doctor, and Ellen and I talked about it as well. All right? A lot of these electromagnetic frequencies that are being sent is to hinder the body's ability to uptake oxygen. I just got an email today from a very good friend who his oxygen levels have dropped precipitously. In fact, he's on oxygen through the nose, a tank of oxygen. And I told him about this, okay? One way to oxygenate yourself is, believe it or not, celery juice. I didn't know that. So this is why I reach out to people that know things a lot more than I do. So in the world of natural health, I have many counselors. And that was one little tidbit, and I'm going to pass it on to you. So do you want just any old celery juice? No. If you want it to work, you got to get organic, non-GMO, which means it should come out of your garden. If you want to know for sure what's going in your body, you got to get it yourself. Even my naturopathic doctor said it's getting more and more difficult finding companies that actually produce good products, because the Jew who has stolen completely the financial system is buying out. Now, the media will tell you, oh, it's BlackRock or Vanguard, blah, blah, blah. But who sits at the top of these organizations? The Jew. And now they have an unlimited supply of electronic shekels to buy out the good companies. And that's what's happening, just like the farmers down here where I live in southern Florida. They've sold out to the developers. So all that precious farmland is being turned into what? Condominiums, apartment buildings, because that's what the Jew does. He loves the Mount Seir. Remember the Edomites went into Mount Seir? They lived in the clefts, in the caves, in the sides of mountains. That's why they love high-rises and apartment buildings. It's like home to them. They're like alien creatures that they don't like greenery. They don't like trees. They don't like openness. They like that confining, ugly city dwelling, because that's where they came from. They're Edomites. And so they want you and me to live in the same ugly, oh my God, they're all the same. It's amazing. You watch them put these things up, every apartment from the outside looks exactly the same. Just like a cave in the side of Mount Seir. Every cave looks about the same. And they want to put you and I in those same things. And they wonder why we have mental distress when we're put in those kind of things. Because we're not that. We are Aryans. We are Israelites of old. We want to be out where there's open air and land and greenery and trees and nature. They are the polar opposite of us. When are we going to learn? You see the world being turned into this ugly blob because they are poison to this. They are poison to Yahweh and all that he teaches. They are a poison to everybody who wants to live a natural life and be healthy and happy. They are the antithesis of Yahweh's will for this world. That's why we are at war. And the two sides cannot coexist, folks. I wish you would get that through your heads. You cannot appease this enemy. The fact that Jews have written it in several books that I've read, we will never be satisfied. we will forever be revolutionaries. And you look at the history of the Jew, you look at the history of the last 200 years, the Jews have been the fomenters of every bloody terroristic revolution. The French Revolution almost happened in England, and then you look at what happened to Germany and Europe, then you look what happened to the Russians, and on it goes. I mean, how often do you have to see the same thing happening before you realize what this show is all about? Or as Thoreau said, when are you going to realize there's a root to these problems? Do you think communism sprang up because it was beneficial and people wanted it? As one commentator recently said, communism would have died in its infancy if it weren't for the Western nations supplying material, food, and money. Now, who do you think were the Western nations' people that were fueling Russia and communism? Yeah, they were the bankers in our lands. So they say the West, trying to say that white men, no, white men did not support that. Jewish bankers in our countries sent the money to fuel the communist revolution and the terror and the murder that came along with it. That's the facts. Stop letting them confuse the issue by saying that these people who appear to be like us are the same as us. No, they're not. A Jew is not like us, and a half-Jew is not like us. A quarter-Jew is not like us. A 100th-Jew is not like us. Why do you think our Heavenly Father told us in Scripture that race mixing is an abomination? Do you understand what the word abomination means? I don't think very many people do, because they're committing it left and right. Race mixing is an abomination. And when you put Satan's seed in you, you have now committed the worst of the abominations. And some people say, well, can it be bred out? I can only tell you what Scripture says. I can only tell you what logic says. No. Once you contaminate it, it's contaminated. Now, if Yahweh reveals something new or different that changes all that, well, then I'll be glad to tell you about it. But up until this point in my life, I've not seen evidence that says it can be reversed. That's, again, why it was so strongly stressed in Scripture and by our ancestors, you don't mix the holy seed with the unclean. Now, today's church world, they'll tell you that's all spiritual. Oh, they're talking about spiritual stuff, Dan. It doesn't matter that my pretty little white daughter married that butt-ugly black down there. No, it's spiritual, Dan. Well, okay. You think it's spiritual, huh? Well, when they produce their bastards, and those bastards have all kinds of mental and physical problems, you deal with it and don't come asking for my money to take care of their bills at the psychiatrist and their bills down at the local clinic because they're going to have so many health issues. And for you people out there who try to tell me that, oh, no, Dan, mixing actually makes us stronger, you are dumber than a box of rocks. That's all I got to say. Don't even come talk to me. You're so stupid that I don't even know if you know when it's day or night. If you haven't figured that one out yet, then you truly are dumber than a box of rocks. I mean, the evidence is out there all over the place. Case in point, Charles Weissman's book, Anthology of Racial Issues. That's one little booklet you can buy that just throws that whole thing out. Or Pastor Harrell in his Sixth Law of God, another excellent small book, just destroys the whole notion that race mixing is okay. No, it's not okay. Never has been, never will be. Oik mukesus in the Septuagint, do not mongrelize. How many times do you have to be told? And that means they're animals, too. Stop it. It also means your fruits and vegetables and trees. Stop it. Yahweh did not give you a right to change the perfect world that he put here for us. No, you don't have that right. And you will regret the day that you took up the idea that you can make something better by mixing breeds or varieties or genesises. No. No, you can't. Just as in the pre-show discussion about tonsils and your appendix. I learned that lesson when they took my son's appendix in the hospital for no good reason. No good reason at all. And this chief surgeon tried to tell me that, oh, his appendix was swollen, so we went in there and we took it out. I said it was swollen because he had a near-death experience with infection. I said, of course his lymphatic system was in high gear. Well, you'll be glad to know we took it out and found out it was benign. Well, thank you, but now he's missing an appendix. Okay? You stupid bastards just want to make money, and you want people to think that you know what you're doing when you're dumber than rocks. You don't even know that the tonsils and the appendix are part of the lymphatic system, which is part of your defense mechanism in your body. And you went how many years to school, and you don't know that? They go to school for that long because it takes that long to drive common sense out of somebody. It takes that long to make sure that they are inculcated with the idiocy of modern medicine. It takes that long to convince people they can't believe what they can see around them, the empirical evidence of what's going on in the world. They have to listen to the teachers and instructors and professors in medical school for many, many years. What a shame. What a shame. So woe to those who call evil good and good evil. Isaiah 5:20. We're starting to get some weather coming in here, so if I drop off, then that's probably what it was. Sir Walter Scott, without courage, there cannot be truth. Let that sink in. Without courage, there cannot be truth. And without truth, there can be no other virtue. So at the top of the heap is what? Courage and truth. They go hand in hand. And if you're dealing with somebody that does not have both of those things working for them, then shame on you. Shame on you. Off-grid with Doug and Stacy just did a YouTube video where they were talking about the chaff, the military chaff in the sky, which is the aluminum that's being sprayed over many of us. Interestingly enough, I was in the United States Air Force in the 1970s, and I worked as an electronic countermeasures technician, and guess what we loaded on the B-52 bombers back then? Chaff magazines and chaff dispensers. So what Doug and Stacy were talking about is right up my alley. Electronic countermeasures, which included mechanical countermeasures as well as radar countermeasures. And the mechanical ones was chaff, the aluminum fibers that are sprayed out from the plane to fake out the enemy radar, and flares that could be dropped out of the rear tail section of the bomber. Those were all part of our countermeasures. So it's kind of interesting that he's talking about chaff, of which I am familiar, and how it has evolved since I was in the Air Force to where today it is aluminum-covered glass particles. And Doug and Stacy talked about the fact that now we have another Jewish organization trying to find seeds that will grow in aluminum-contaminated soil. Reminds me of the Terminator seeds that Monsanto, another Jewish organization, And Bayer, that bought out Monsanto, that's another Jewish organization. So one Jew buys out another Jew to pass on and try to get out of liability. But Monsanto was doing research, millions and millions of dollars, to create Terminator seeds. I mean, the very name for them, Terminator seeds. Can you imagine that? Spending that much money and time to develop seeds that will not germinate, that will not create new seed. And people bought it. People bought it. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 8, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. We are in the time for war. We need to realize that. We need to regroup as people. And as Melissa was talking about, we need to come up with solutions. And thank God there are people working on solutions, believe it or not. You're not going to hear about it in the Jew-controlled media, of course not. But there are people of conscience that are developing alternative financial systems. There are more and more people talking about states' rights, and even at the county level, rights. Local government, which is what we were supposed to be under all this time. Also, the fact that we need to forget about the Constitution. Come on, folks. That's a man-made document. Now, where in Scripture does it say man's law trumps God's law? Somebody needs to show it to me. Come on. Get a hold of me now. I'd like you to show me the verse where it says man's law trumps God's law. And speaking of Trump, I sure hope you people aren't supporting that Trojan horse. Nobody in politics is on our side. When are you going to wake up to that? All right? Nobody. We are on our own with our Heavenly Father. We shall prevail. We shall share the information that will allow us to come through this time of turmoil and tribulation, and we will be on the winning side. They will become fertilizer in the soil, right where they should be. The earth will swallow them up, and they will become fertilizer, because that's all they're good for. Okay? That's all they're good for. Matthew 24, verse 6, and you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. Do we hear of wars and rumors of war? That's all you hear about. On and on and on and on. The world is in chaos. It's in turmoil. It's the great shaking mentioned in other scriptures. It is social upheaval. All of the institutions are being challenged. Everything is being challenged. Your health is being challenged. Your status on this earth is being challenged. And the enemy wants to strip all of your humanity away from you. He wants you to be like him, without hope. Oh, well, Dan, what are you talking about? Don't you people know the Jew does not even believe in an afterlife? The Jew has nothing to work for. The Jew has only this world. Why do you think Satan's kids want to turn us into hell? So that they can enjoy their time here. Because this is all they get. So they are moving now at a rapid pace to make this world a living hell so that they can be happy sitting on top of the rest of us, being the overlords of mankind and pushing their poison, both their poisonous ideologies and their poisonous products on us. Force us to buy it. Why do you think they're buying up the farmland? They're trying to shut the farmers down so that you will only be able to get their Frankenfood. They'll be outlawing the growing of food outside of the corporate, meaning Jew-controlled, sources of food. And thank goodness the farmers in Europe are rebelling. I've watched video after video of the farmers in Germany, France, Ireland, and other places. They are dumping raw sewage from their farms on government buildings. The The world is beginning to see that man-made government is the beast that was talked about in Scripture. The beast that roars and roams looking for victims. The beasts of this world are man-made governments. And the head, the chief whore over these beasts is Judaism, the Jew. Riding on the beast, directing the beast on what to do and how to enslave mankind. The world is starting to wake up to this relationship between these man-made evil governments operating as wild, vicious beasts on the earth and their lords and masters that sit in the high towers of international finance known as Jews. The world's starting to figure that out. This is the time of the apocalypse, the great unveiling. And I'll tell you another good thing. You know, this is just a little tiny radio station here. I mean, it's always been that way. Very tiny, just like Yeshua. He only had 12 guys. Yeshua himself went around with just 12 disciples, did he not? And yet this tiny little station, we're hearing other platforms discuss the topics we discuss here and use the same verbiage and phraseology that we use on this station. So if you think this little tiny station, if you think you as an individual who walks in Yahweh's light and in his love and in his law, if you don't think you have an impact, then you're crazy, too. You sure as hell do. You sure as hell do. We are his weapons of war. Jeremiah 51, verse 20. You, meaning you and me, ladies and gentlemen, are my hammer and weapon of war. With you, I break nations in pieces. With you, I destroy kingdoms. The evil that's pervasive across this world has only one enemy that has a chance of stopping it, and that's us, truth tellers, those who walk in the light of Yahweh's power, love, and wisdom. It's you and me, folks. And yeah, I know, we don't feel like it. We don't feel, first of all, that we're worthy. I know I don't. And yet, his love, his direction, his care is obvious. He is the answer. Remember, all of this stuff is happening to turn people away from man-made institutions and man-made solutions because they're not. All of this stuff is happening to make people realize that Yahweh is the answer. The Creator is the answer. His law is the answer. Why would you buy a owner's manual for a Datsun if you're driving a Nissan Maxima? Why would you do that? We live on this earth that was created by our Father. Why would you listen to a group of pissants called people, bureaucrats, government officials, potentates, priests, and other liars? Why in the hell would you listen to them and ignore the source, Yahweh himself? Why? Why would you do that? Why would you think anything created by men would be more beneficial and a better way to go than our Heavenly Father? You know, the Scripture says that Yahweh was the leader of the Israelites at one point until he divorced them. Because of what? Because we're so stiff-necked. Even when the Father himself was the pillar that led us, what did we do? We turned to earthly kings. We asked for an earthly king. How stupid of our ancestors. Well, we can't do anything about what they did so long ago. But we can change what's happening now and where we go from here. And that change comes about when you stop thinking like our ancestors. You stop believing the bullshit propaganda of the Jew and all of his lapdogs amongst our people, and start looking to the source, our Father Creator. Stop it. There is no constitution. There is no declaration. There is nothing in the print of a man that's going to solve your problems, because man created these problems. And many times they create a problem where one does not even exist. Out of thin air, just like the Gulf of Tonkin incident that got us into Vietnam, that disastrous program by that piece of shit Jew, Lyndon Baines Johnson. It never even happened. There was no incident in Tonkin Bay. It was a 100% fabrication of the Jews in Washington and in the media. And yet we went to war. Look how long we were in that war, what it cost us in the lives and injuries to our men and women that were over there, the people that lived over there, and the amount of money stolen from the American taxpayer, which continues unabated to this day. When are we going to learn? Yahweh says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God." Now, the modern day church world will tell you, oh, that's because we're supposed to be pacifists. No, that's not what that's saying. You get to be a peacemaker when you are in a position of strength. When you are the biggest, baddest man on the block, even the Bushido code of the Japanese samurai talks about the fact that it is good men, righteous men, better trained in violence. They are the ones who subdue evil men of violence. That's our job. That's our job, to be the biggest, baddest, most violent warrior on the battlefield. That's our job, guys. And gals, it's your job to support us men. In fact, we are supposed to be so fearsome, so vicious, that the evildoers think twice. They think twice about being so damn evil. Exodus 15, verse 3, Yahweh is a man of war, and Yahweh is his name. I am that I am. The church world, again, has everything asked backwards, as we should expect at this time in the latter days. And they tell us that God is love, and we should be love and turn our cheek and blah, 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 and on it goes. When the opposite is the truth, we are to be warriors. We are to be trained in violence. In fact, we should be better at violence than the evil ones. And we should be willing to visit violence upon those who break Yahweh's law and those who would do evil against innocent people. They deserve violence. You don't show that you love people by being a pacifist or a coward. You show your love by being willing to be violent, to be the warrior that our Father in Heaven commanded us to be. People say, well, when's this nonsense going to end? When good and righteous men decide to be the sons of God, as it says in Scripture, and manifest themselves. Well, what's that mean, Dan? What do you mean manifest? It means get off the bench and get in the game. Good and righteous men have been sitting on the bench. The enemy's running up and down the football field. Deuteronomy chapter 20, starting at verse 1. When you go out to war against your enemies and see horses and chariots and an army larger than your own, you shall not be afraid of them, for Yahweh your Elohim God is with you. Who brought you up out of the land of Egypt? And when you draw near to the battle, the priest shall come forward and speak to the people and shall say to them, Hear, O Israel, hear, O Caucasian men. Today you are drawing near for battle against your enemies. Let not your heart faint. Do not fear or panic or be in dread of them, for Yahweh your Elohim God is he who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies, to give you the victory. Again, the world is in travail, waiting for the sons of Yah to be manifested. It's not rocket science, folks. Evil prevails when good men do nothing. Have you heard that adage before? Evil prevails when good men do nothing. And sitting around thinking that man-made government and their jackbooted thugs are the only ones to implement Yahweh's justice is wrong. As my grandfather told me when I was only a small boy, the police are not here for our protection. They are the army of the local bureaucrats. That's what policemen are. Now, I know I've had friends and relatives who are cops, and they thought they were going into it to, quote, protect the community, only to find out that what my grandfather said is quite true. They are really an army for the bureaucrats to make sure the status quo stays in line. And now the military is pretty much the same thing. Romans chapter 7, starting at verse 21. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of Yahweh God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin, which means violation of God's law, that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to Yahweh God through Yahshua HaMashiach. So then, I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. So we have wars going on in the physical world, but we also have wars going on in the spiritual world within you. Because many times we know the right thing to do, but we're afraid to do it, are we not? Again, we watch our country being invaded by illegals. That's an invading army, and yet where are the righteous men in America to shut down the borders? You know, the people you pay taxes to pay their salaries are supposed to obey their oaths of office, and yet they are allowing this invasion to go on. That's treason. So rather than stand up and fight like the men that we were supposed to be and close the borders ourselves, we act like there's nothing we can do. We have to let these invaders come in. We have to let them give them EBT cards with thousands of dollars of freebies to invaders, an invading army. You're paying to feed them. You're paying to house them. You're paying to transport them. You're paying to arm them. What a time in history. And I'm a history buff, and I read all these old books, and I don't recall ever a time that the white man has been so cowardly. The white man allows his children to rebel against them. The white man allows his wife or his women to rebel against him. The white man allows treason by the Jew within his country, and he still sits on his ass wondering, wow, how did it get this bad? Why does my country no longer look white? Why is everybody in government positions a non-white and non-male? I wonder, is it a coincidence? It's all happening at the same time. Is it a coincidence that the scripture said at the end of the age, the dragon would send a flood into our lands? A flood of what? A flood of people. And still the righteous sit and sit and sit. Maybe it's because there are none righteous. Have we gotten that far down on the food chain? We're no longer righteous. We no longer believe in Yahweh God. We no longer believe that he is superior to man and man's law. Have we become Jews? Because that's their attitude. Just saying, just throwing things out there. If you think I'm wrong, tell me so. Proverbs 21, verse 31. The horse is made ready for the day of battle, but the victory belongs to Yahweh. What's that verse telling you? Having that AK-47 or that SKS rifle or that 308 rifle or the four-wheel drive MRAP, whatever. The horse is made ready for the battle, but the victory belongs to the Father. That's because when you are righteous, you cannot fail. Let that sink in. When you are a righteous warrior, you cannot fail. That's a problem with our people. They forgot what it means to be righteous. In Romans chapter 12, verse 18, it says, if possible, as far as it depends on you, live peacefully with all. Yes, of course. The greatest peacemakers are warriors. Oh, Dan, that's a dichotomy. That's a contradiction. That's an oxymoron, blah, blah, blah. Oh, no, it's not. Who knows better the horrors of war than a warrior? The warrior that's going to get wounded or possibly die in combat. Who knows better than him the horrors on the battlefield? The warrior prays for peace as he prepares for war. Okay, that's what these verses that we just talked about is talking about. I prepare for war most of my life. Physical training, being down at the gym, agility training and adult boot camp, going to the range and trying my rifles and pistols and learning how to reload ammunition, preparing for war all my life, but at the same time praying for peace. I've been in the military. I haven't seen a lot of death and destruction, as most of the Marines and Army guys did. Most of my time was on Air Force bases, but I read and knew people that were in the middle of that stuff and heard their testimonies. And since I have a pretty good imagination, it was not hard to figure out what the horrors of war are all about. And any of you that have an imagination should be able to do that too. It is a terrible, terrible waste of everything. Waste of time, waste of money, waste of resources, waste of human life. War is the last thing on earth a warrior wants. But I will say, like General MacArthur and General George S. Patton, I will say the same as them. If you do get pushed to the point where you commit to a war, then you throw everything at the enemy you have got. to end it as quickly as possible. This whole idea of wars that take years and years and years is a Jewish creation, because war is a Jewish, because the Jew finances both sides. They don't have a skin in the game as far as the ideology or the territory, because the Jew is sitting on both sides. You don't think that's true? Then you are not a student of history. You are not Jew-wise, because once you become Jew-wise, then you know that that is exactly what's going on. Psalm 144, verse 1 and 2. Blessed be Yahweh, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. He is my steadfast love and my fortress, my stronghold and my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I take refuge, who subdues peoples under me. Why do you think the enemy is doing everything they can to spiritually wreck you, spiritually cause doubt about who our Father is and what his plans are? Because they know. The warrior who is trained for war and stands as a righteous man with Yahweh is invincible. And they know that. They know that. Romans 13:4, for he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the servant of Yahweh God, an avenger who carries out Yahweh's wrath on the wrongdoer. That's you and me, folks. No, it's not the policeman. No, it's not the military. No. It's you and me. And then we have in Matthew 10, verse 34, do not think that I've come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. Who spoke those words? Who spoke those words? Yeshua did. The very one that they try to make out to be a hippie in sandals with long hair, preaching peace, 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 love, 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 love. Oh, that's funny. In Joel chapter 3, starting at verse 9, proclaim this among the nations. Consecrate for war. Stir up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am a warrior. Plowshares into swords and pruning hooks into spears. What's that saying? That says everything around you, when you're at war with an enemy like we're at war with, everything around you becomes a weapon. If it's a telephone, you're telling people the truth about who's the enemy and what they're up to. If it's a platform on the internet, it becomes a weapon. If it's a pruning hook, it becomes a weapon. If it's a paring knife, it becomes a weapon. If it's a machete or a hatchet, it becomes a weapon. It's not just rifles and pistols. Everything within your sphere becomes a weapon. And you use it like a weapon. Because I'm going to tell you something. This enemy plans on destroying you and your loved ones. That is crystal clear. If you haven't figured that out yet, shame on you. This is a war to the end, folks. We cannot coexist. Communism cannot coexist with any other form of government. Satan's kids cannot live with the rest of us. No, they cannot. They are at war against us. They have been since they were put here. That's why the prophet Obadiah, Ezekiel, and Malachi said that in the end, Yahweh will exterminate them. Those are the words of the prophets, not mine. I'm simply telling you. If you don't believe it, go read it for yourself. Edom, Esau will be exterminated. Why? Because they will never repent. They will never stop trying to subdue this world and turn it into hell. Never will they stop. In the history of mankind, they have never stopped. They might back up, they might retreat for a day, but they regroup and come at you again, just like termites. Some people might say, well, Dan, why do they do that? Well, possibly because it's in their DNA. Maybe that's why Yahweh put them here. I don't know the answer to that. All I can tell you is what I see and what I hear and what I witness. They are like termites eating away at the fabric of our world, and they are destroying it. And if people don't wake up to this very soon, it will be over. They are destroying everything on this earth, turning it into a living hell, because that's what they do. How else do you explain people that literally control the financial system of the world? Untold amounts of, well, it's electronic, but still, it'll buy a car, it'll buy a house. They have that kind of power, and yet they turn it to do what? Evil. Constantly. If you or I had access to that kind of money, this would be a pristine, beautiful world with healthy people and education and honest medical training, etc. It would be a paradise. Instead, it's an ugly, hellish world and becoming more so every day. Why? Because they are hell-bent on doing utter destruction to this world, because it's what they do. Just listen to that little maggot called Harari, that so-called professor. He is typical of these creatures. There is no human aspect to that monster at all. He is a cretin and a miscreant. He is an abomination upon the earth, him and everyone like him. And he's calling for the destruction of people like us. And yet we still sit here like somehow we have to honor him. We have to be careful about what we say about these people. What? He's calling for the utter destruction of this world, turning it into a Jewish hell. And yet, people still sit around on their ass. It's unbelievable. Really, unbelievable. But we've got quite a rainstorm coming in here, so I think I'm going to close it down in case I'm going to get cut off anyway. I think you get the point of what I was trying to make anyway. We need to focus on our health quite a bit, folks. That was another thing I wanted to share with you before we leave. If you can go listen to that latest interview with Catherine Austin Fitz on USAWatchdog.com with Greg Hunter, that is going to be worthwhile, because what she talks about as far as the gold depositories, and again, health issue that was related to me, as far as oxygenation, they are trying to tamper with that. So remember, celery juice and peroxide. Those are two things that are easy to come by and can help you out. And the beautiful thing about the natural world is that you can almost, not 100%, but pretty damn close. It's very difficult to overdose on natural, and it's very difficult to have it interfere with other modalities that you might be trying. Now, that being said, of course, wisdom says that you bounce anything you want to do off of somebody who is trained, either as a naturopathic doctor or somebody that you can trust with their knowledge level. You should bounce whatever you want to do off them, just in case what you're doing is one of those rare exceptions. OK, Okay? Be wise, folks. Be wise. The scripture says, in the counsel of many, there is victory. That's why you don't listen to anything I say. You don't take anything I say by itself. You add it to what you know yourself. You add it to what your circle of friends and confidants are telling you. And then you put all things together, line upon line, precept upon precept. In the counsel of many, there is victory. With that being said, dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you for this opportunity to share. We pray that your word would go out through this world and it would permeate it, and that those with the ears to hear and eyes to see will pick up on this message, and that the righteous army that you have created, that righteous army, will come up out of that valley of dead and dry bones and become a vast and mighty army. We pray for that soon, Father Yahweh. Be with us and guide us in all that we say and do to thy glory and for thy kingdom. We ask all this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.